lovers, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. And you come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop it, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come, come on now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new.
I gotta tell you I'm in love with your shape. You said the mother brothers couldn't really juggle your weight, and you were shy in the beginning, used to cover your face. You got that sweet, sweet love, and I'm a sucker for cake. I know, girl, you got a body they will kill for. Loving through whatever, who you trying to skip a meal for? Girl, you're too precious, why you trying to spit the bill for? I ain't even guessing, they should have you up on billboards. That's all talking, you can go to work and let me pick up the slack. And when you finish what you're doing, we'll be kicking it back. We can listen to my tunes until you're sick of my raps. And I got money in the bank, but not a figure like that. You got me looking at your shape, man, I've already won. Trying to come and kill the game like my brother Teddy done. I ain't even trying to play it cool, cause this is bigger than my pride. Let me multiply your loving and I hit you with the vibe, eh? Shit.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new.
My liquor, there's not a flaw in your figure, I'm so impressed.
Come on, be my baby.
And baby, you can call me, it's quicker. I don't be talking on Twitter, girl, that's dead.
Come on, be my baby.
Girl, stop curving the question. I'll turn your curse to a blessing, that's overnight.
Come on, be my baby.
And weigh up your options and spend the day with a problem. I do you right.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my room, my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
Come on, be my baby. Come on, be my baby.
I'm in love with your body.
Come on, be my baby. Come on, be my baby.
I'm in love with your body.
Come on, be my baby. Come on, be my baby.
I'm in love with your body. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with the shape of you.
This is University
Radio Nottingham.
Turn it up. colored glasses on and party on. Turn it up, it's your favorite song. Dance, dance, dance to the distortion. Turn it up, keep it on repeat. Stumbling around like a wasted zombie. Yeah, we think we're free. Drink, this one's on me. We're all king to the rhythm, to the rhythm, to the rhythm. Turn it up, it's your favorite song. Dance, dance, dance to the distortion. Turn it up, keep it on repeat. Stumbling around like a wasted zombie. Yeah, we think we're free. Drink, this one's on me. We're all king to the rhythm, to the rhythm, whoa, to the rhythm.
It is my desire. Break down the walls to connect, inspire. Eh, up in all your high place, liars. Time is ticking for the empire. The truth they feed is feeble, as so many times before. The greed of all the people. They stumbling and fumbling and we about to riot. They woke up, the liars.
Voting for the SU election has now opened. URN has all the information that you will need to make a well-informed choice about who to vote for in this year's student leader elections. Voting closes at midday on the 17th of March, so be sure to make your vote count. Stay tuned to The Pulse on URN from 5 till 6 every evening for our award-winning coverage before the night itself on the 17th of March. You're listening to Question Time on URN.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of URN The Pulse, Question Time. I'm joined by your candidates for SU President. A general overview of how we'll be running things is there'll be 15-minute segments where we'll start with some broad open-ended questions which all the candidates will answer before we move on to specific manifesto points. But first, I'm going to ask a question if you could go around the table and also introduce yourselves. The first question is going to be, what would you say is the biggest problem currently facing the SU? And we'll start with Cameron.
That's a really, really good question. I think it's a question that affects pretty much all the students, and it's something that we really, really need to address, and I think it's the publicity of the achievements and of societies in general, and the SU officers themselves. I feel like sometimes there's a detachment, especially from first-year students when they arrive, is that they don't know what the SU is. So like, I'll speak to them at the end of this year and being like, what's the SU? And they're like, I don't know. It's Portland Building, isn't it? Like, that building. And I'm like, no, it's like the whole thing. It encompasses everybody. You're part of the Students' Union, the societies, the sports. It's about publicity, I think, really, really affects the SU. People don't know what it does for them on a daily basis. And that's something that we need to concentrate on.
Yeah. So my name's Alan. So personally, I feel the same as Cam. There's a lot of about it is the fact that the students don't actually know what the SU officers do, and that's mainly because of publicity yet again and the transparency between the SU officers towards the students. And I feel like if all students actually understood what we did, they'd be more into the SU. And I feel that's one of the major things that needs to be addressed. And hopefully, my manifesto will do that for you.
Hi, I'm Joshua. So I completely agree with the previous two candidates. The SU has a lot to do in terms of the transparency, the publicity, and what is more important is the engagement and approachability to all students. So currently, the current SU officers has made a huge progress in terms of increasing approachability to students. This year, they have introduced a Facebook page account for each specific candidate, which is a huge boost in terms of transparency. But certainly more can be done, which will tie into my manifesto point I'll address later on. There's also some problems in terms of a lot of people are saying that when they win in the sports competitions, especially in the less well-known sports competitions, for instance, inter-societies competitions, inter-hall sports competitions, their names are not so publicly made known and their achievements are not fully celebrated. So there are lots of issues in terms of celebrations, in terms of acknowledgements that has to be addressed as well.
Right, and moving on, some of your policies also revolve around the idea of integration and inclusivity, making sure that everyone, particularly international students, feel as welcomed as possible in the university. Do you think you can force integration on people? Do you think it's something that you can make people feel included, or is it a slow working process?
Absolutely not. I don't think you can force anything on anybody. The SU can facilitate, and that's the best word that I've got to describe what the SU can do. The SU can facilitate the opportunities for students to integrate. So from the start, you know, with Welcome Week, it can facilitate that immediately with the Welcome Fair. It facilitates it throughout the year with its, you know, support for all the societies and all the sports that we do. And I think, you know, my other candidates would be inclined to agree that that's the main thing that it can do. And I don't think we should be advocating forcing anything on anybody. It is a long process, definitely. I don't think it's something that can happen overnight. You know, it hasn't happened with, you know, countries in general, so I don't think it can happen with RSU. So I think it's something that is a long working process, and it's something that, you know, is keen in my manifesto and other manifestos for something to be working on.
Yeah, so personally, I think, yes, you can definitely not force anything upon anyone. It's completely against anything. Personally, I feel like integration, yes, it's a slow working process. The SU have tried their best over the last few years, but it's obviously just carrying on what they've been doing. I mean, with international students, there are some international students that do want to integrate within the student body, whereas there are international students, not even only international students, but there are UK students who will not integrate. But it's just giving them the possibility to integrate and giving them those options to integrate. That's what mainly is about the integration.
I completely agree with the previous two candidates. Integration is a long process. It needs time to change, but it is not impossible. At the moment, over 30% of the people who have completed in the student union survey last year have reflected that they want to join in the societies, but they have not found any opportunities to do so. So there are lots of students who are willing to integrate, who are prepared, who are ready to do so, but it is not. It is just that the system is not in place for those opportunities to be explored. So the SU can certainly facilitate and to do more in order for to encourage the students who are willing and prepared to join in to the better, to the wider student communities, to actually make the steps forward.
And on that point of inclusivity, one of the common themes we found in manifestos were the inclusivity of satellite campuses, so Sutton Bonson, for example. And I was wondering if you feel that the points that you set for these campuses and the pledges that you're making are actually viable, or if they're just there to appeal to those sets of voters. And Alan, I'd actually like to start with you, because in your manifesto, at least the one that was available on the SU website, there weren't any points on satellite campuses. Are they on your agenda?
So basically, in my manifesto, they're all achievable things for the year to come and maybe the following few years. I didn't want to put promises that were empty promises. I didn't want to include SB on there completely, because I don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to be an SB every other day, like all other previous SU candidates have said. Personally, I feel like I put up these promises in my manifesto that I can achieve. So basically, yes, they are on my agenda. And I've told, when we had an SB question time last night, I've told them about what my thoughts are. I will be there for them if they need the help, because I feel like they are those ones that will be able to work with me, and I'll work closely with them. But I'm not going to promise to any satellite campus that I'll be there every day. And that's what, yeah.
Joshua?
In terms of the satellite campus, I would say that even though if I become a full-time SU officer, I cannot single-handedly bring in more inclusivity for the satellite campuses people just by myself. But there are certainly a lot of things that can be achieved. Last night I went to Southern Bonington, talked with the committee people in the Southern Bonington Guild, and we all agree that there are a lot of issues that the Southern Bonington Guild really needs the support from the main campus. So certainly we can support and give a better autonomy to the Southern Bonington Guild people. The five associations, the Southern Bonington Guild, UNAD, and MedSofts, they are the people who are also important in our student union bodies, and certainly as the SU main campus SU officers, we can we can provide more support and more autonomy to those organizations, more recognitions, more acknowledgements, more appreciations to those organizations as well, so that we can work better, cooperate better, and a lot of things will be able to achieve. Yesterday night, I have actually spoken with the certain point of the people, and they reflect to me that they keep on. Usually they have a judgment on us, saying that you have not actually lived in Southern Burlington before. How do you actually understand the needs of our people when you have not experienced it before? My answer to this question is that, yes, I have not lived in Southern Burlington before, but I can provide more support and engage with you. Engagement is the key. Approachability is the key. We can certainly work better and cooperate better, and we can find out what is the best solutions that is suitable for those people.
Gavin?
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with a lot of what Alan said and some of what Joshua said. I would actually urge the previous answer to be careful with when they're talking about more autonomy, because already the SU and the Guild especially have a lot of autonomy from our current SU, and they really, really love that, and that's something that we need to maintain at its level. I think it's a really good level that it's at, and there's good communication there, there's great relationships between the SU officers and the Guild officers, but giving them more autonomy I don't necessarily think is the best way. I don't think that's the best way, because that's almost going to alienate them away from us, potentially. You know, if you centralize it and make a sabbatical officer role for the Guild, then that's going to alienate them as well, because then they've got no like SU presence over there. So I'd urge people to be careful about giving the Guild and other associations more autonomy, because we've already got a good level of kind of connectivity and support that it is. But my manifesto, like Alan's, is concentrating on those support networks and maintaining the support, maintaining great relationships, maintaining the presence over there when they have social events that they invite us to, but also extending that. So it's not just a social event presence, it's a presence, like Joshua was saying, of being there when we can, when it, you know, when they want us to be there, you know, and basically that's what the Guild echoes to us, is that they want us to be there for them when they want it. They can definitely handle it themselves, but they want us to be there supporting them, representing them when they want it, in the best way that we can, and exhaust any opportunities we can to support them in what they're doing and their endeavours.
And before we go to the song break, I just like one final question. And it's something, just as you were talking, I was thinking about on a broader point of elections. Do you feel that with the word limit or character limit that was imposed on manifestos this year, there's a tendency or a temptation to slightly mislead voters, because obviously, you know, like we were discussing earlier, visibility from the SU is key, and I guess the idea behind the word limits to make it more palatable for voters. But is there a tendency maybe on manifesto to point, you know, put the easy stuff that people, you know, attracts people? Mm. Is that something you found this year?
Yeah, 100%. I think that personally, I've created quite an exciting manifesto, and I like the look of a lot of other manifestos, Alan's especially, you know, with the layout of it and the super aims. I think it's really, really cool. But it definitely, it works for and against manifestos, and it can work for and against candidates, and it can work for candidates in the sense that it's just grabbing votes. It's the rhetoric that people want to hear. People want to hear more water machines on campus, you know, more like social spaces, more integration, more, you know, comfy sleeping pods or whatever it is. And that's just going out there to win votes and rhetoric, just like politics is, definitely. But it's really key this year, I think, with the 200 word limit and the 1200 character limit, especially to create exciting prospects and things that were reachable. I've definitely broken my manifesto down. Like, that's why I've got it here in front of me. I know you can't see it, but it's definitely broken down into sub bullet points. And I'm sure Alan and Joshua have done the same thing in order for us to understand our own manifesto points, because it looks out there on the website saying, I want to do this. SU offices to release monthly vlogs, but how am I going to do it? And then I've expanded on it in my own mind for ready to it, and I can explain it to students in situations like this.
So I completely agree with Cam. Obviously, with the 200 word limit, you have to put down the points that will grab attention, but obviously with my manifesto and a few other manifestos, like just like Cam's, we've made it really broad. As being a presidential candidate, you have to make sure that you are as broad as possible, because it has to reach out for everyone. Obviously, there are a few points in some manifestos that have been quite unachievable, let's say. So, obviously, as we've made our manifesto...
Would you name any?
Ooh, my sooty and sweet, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's fine.
But obviously, like, with these manifesto points, like, they are the bare minimum of what the manifesto points are. They're just like a title, but it doesn't really show what they actually are. That's the main problem with the 200 word limit. So yes, again, it works for and against. Obviously,
but overall, do you feel the change is a positive one?
I think it is positive because it does keep it a lot shorter and a lot sweeter, and no one can make it completely different. Like, someone with 200 words could do, everyone has 200 words, that's it. Whereas some people, like in the previous years, had 1,000 words, 3 pages worth of manifesto points. Some people had, 10 words, let's say. So it's definitely a lot better, yeah.
I think the word limits it works better for the overall constructions of our manifesto, in that it really helps us to double think about what are the points we want to put on our manifesto, what are the more important ones, what are the less important ones, and what are the things that we should really remain on our manifesto, even though the word limit is really pushing us into cutting a lot of words. I think in this process of trying to cut the word to fit in the limit, it's actually a process that helps us to reflect on ourselves, on our manifesto points. What are the points that are achievable? What are not? What are the points that really addresses to the current student's needs? What are the points that are quite far distance away and might not be that relevant to the students? So it really helps facilitate our thinking process. And like what I did for same as Cameron, the same as Alan, I also have a full, better, well-structured manifesto for myself, which is the extended version of the concise one that is displayed online. And this and as I do lecture shoutouts with people, as I engage with people, talk with them, giving them flyers with them, I talk not for the points. I don't strictly. I talk for the points, but I don't strictly follow the points that are displayed on the websites. I extend further for pick some of the points from my own extended version of the manifesto.
Do you think though the fact that the full manifesto isn't available? I mean, you could type all the stuff that people want to see, and then your full manifesto could be full of points that people don't actually like. The risk of extending on some and not giving the full detail on others.
No, it's obviously on the websites you want to be concise and to the point, but as you speak you can obviously highlight some points to elaborate on and explain to people. Also on your own campaign video as well, you can obviously talk more about extend on it. So I don't think that you lose a lot by cutting the word to fit in the word limits on the website. You have a lot of opportunities to fully elaborate your points to the people. It's just that as you put something on the website, you try. It is a very good thinking process for yourself of which is more important, which is less important. Which is I think is a good it's a good preparation for us as candidates.
You're listening to The Pulse, URN's award-winning news show, where it's all about the news that matters to you.
And we're back with your own question time with your candidates for SU president. And it was something that you all addressed as the biggest problem currently facing the SU. And I'd like to kind of expand on it. And it's on the process of getting information from the SU to students about not only what the SU does, but what it actually entails. And it's something that has definitely troubled the SU in recent years. What do you plan to do to combat this if you become president? And we'll start with Joshua this time.
Could you repeat the question?
What do you plan to do to combat the process of transmitting information to students?
Oh, okay. I would say that at the moment, the current SU officers are quite have done a lot of good jobs in terms of transmitting messages to students. So this year, they have started to introduce the Facebook page for each specific SU officers. They have also tried to send emails out, constantly updates to students about what the SU has achieved, but certainly more can be added to it. So if I become the president, I will certainly organize a monthly president question time on each campus, so that I will lead on the whole cabinet, the whole team of full-time officers to go to each campus every month.
Do you think, though, with the time pressures of being an SU officer, this is something viable? You know, who will be doing the question time?
I will lead all the SU full-time officers. Obviously, not everybody of us will attend, but I'll certainly be present. And I think it is, I say monthly, it's not fortnightly, it's not weekly, it's only monthly. And it's not as in SU officers, you obviously you need to engage with the students in a more direct way. You need to answer their questions. You should not avoid their questions. You should meet with them face to face. And so this is not taking particularly taking you a lot of time away from your work, and it's certainly achievable.
We do have scrutiny panel though, which is a way of holding your SU officers to account, but
yes,
no one turns up to that. Do you think we should focus on advertising that, or do you think we should just scrap it and move on to this question time event?
Well, I think both are not replaceable. I think certainly more publicity can be done in terms of the scrutiny panels.
I've been to scrutiny panel though, and I have to say, it wasn't the most engaging time for my life, but it is obviously an important mechanism. Do you think we need to update the format?
Yes. We can certainly ask the students of what are the questions that you want to raise on the scrutiny panels meetings, so that we can those questions can be brought forward for the SU officers to answer on the actual scrutiny panel meeting. Certainly, a lot of publications can be done, but I think it is also as important for the SU full-time officers to engage with the students in a more direct way and answer their questions in a more direct way. So that's why the president question time for every month will be a very crucial point in my manifesto, and it ties in with the concept of approachability and engagement and transparency with the students.
So personally, I think with the accountability of what the SU officers actually do. So right now the SU officers put up a progress report on Facebook on their personal pages, a list of stuff that they've done. The problem with this is the fact that it's only their friends that see it. So what I propose is basically making a table where they have what they've done, their manifesto point, what they've done and what they're planning on doing. It'd be a nice table that will be posted on their Facebook page and on the SU page. So if people actually want to know what's going to happen, they can easily see it and it's publicly known that it's there. Right now the scrutiny panel does show the table of exactly what they've done, and the scrutiny panel, say what they've done and what their plans are for the future. But the main problem with that is the fact that not many people know about it unless you're on the scrutiny panel, and that's the main issue. It's about the transparency of information of the SU officers towards the students is the key thing. So being on the SU page, obviously with the new revamping of the SU page, it's very important to make these key issues known to the students, and that's how I think the best way for accountability to work with the students.
And Cameron?
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to completely agree with Alan actually there, that the development of the new webpage is really, really key in the transparency of all the democratic documents that do get filed away by the scrutiny panel, the union council, the trustees. Last week Alan and I attended the annual members meeting just before campaigning kicked off, which was an update on what Harrod's cohort of officers has been doing and like leading back into leading into this year with Ishmael's, and then next year's officers will deliver the same thing to the university students as well. But yeah, the key thing is to get the information out there in a really digestible way possible. So I've got the kind of like on my manifesto expansion on Spotlights on Society's blog, which is currently on Tumblr, I believe. Maybe looking into moving that to Facebook or updating it into like a vlog kind of format. And the same with the officers to release a monthly vlog highlighting their successes to increase transparency and accountability. What I think we need to appreciate is that when Alan and I went to this members meeting last week, there was probably about a maximum of about 7 people there. Who were actually students. So I don't think that necessarily, and this is no offense to Joshua, you know, personally, but looking at the manifesto point about a question time, I don't think personally it's feasible timetabling-wise. The SU officers are always there, email, and you can walk into their office, and especially with the new redesign of the Portland building, you're going to be able to see them all the time. They're definitely there to just talk to. I don't think it's a good idea because it's just not going to be attended, unless it's like some mad publicity behind it. Scrutiny panel isn't attended by anybody but the scrutineers and the officers, so what's the point in introducing something that's even more kind of democratic and like politicized that people aren't going to attend? We need to focus on things that people are going to look at that are like more digestible to people rather than
I completely agree with that, because yes, we attended the annual members meeting. Very important information about the 5-year plan, the 3rd-year plan review about this year with Harrod's cohort. Yes, very important stuff that students do want to know about, but it's so poorly attended that it's just there's not really any need for a public question time personally. But I feel like, yes, again, with looking at imagery or looking at what's actually being done is what's needed to be looked at further and improved.
Justin, do you want to respond?
Yes, I think this year, so there are certainly a lot of meetings that are going on, the scrutiny panels meetings, the annual members meetings, and those meetings are to facilitate in terms of transparency and to allow SU officers to answer the students' questions. But a lot of, for those kind of meetings, certainly the SU has not done enough in terms of the publicity and to encourage the students to attend the meetings. However, the problems with these meetings are that they are not broadcast live, so this this creates a barrier for the students who cannot actually physically attend those meetings. Also, in terms of publicity, people. The publicity is weak, so that's why not a lot of people are aware of those events that are going on. But with the precedent question time, you are allowed to broadcast the question time live.
What kind of attendance or viewership would you expect from that?
I would expect for every month there will be maybe 100 to 200 people physically attending, but I'm also expecting that those question times can be broadcast live so that students can engage with it in more direct ways. Filmings and all.
But do you not see that if it's such a struggle to get students to even vote, a question time about someone they don't know what the role is, they don't know what impact they have on their student life, will they be persuaded to go, you know, when if it's held in the evening? They'll want to go out, they'll want to see their friends, not be in a room with someone for an hour, not really knowing what's going on.
I think in terms of number of people who vote is 4,000 at the moment. So I don't see how is this linked to your points about the attendance issues. I think a lot of students do care about the student unions. It's just the idea that the publicity is not enough for all those events that are existing. Those events require students to physically attend. So, for instance, the any members.
Cameron, if you want to jump in.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think what Harry's kind of getting at is about how are you gonna, you know. How are you going to get people to attend this physical question time when it's hard enough at one point in the year trying to get people over a week-long period to try and get like 10,000 people to vote in a student leadership election? I think it's really important to kind of utilize the technologies that we've got in front of us now, you know, things like Facebook Live and all those kind of systems where we can get, you know, viewership online. I think the numbers that you gave, Joshua, were reachable. But 200 people, yeah, definitely. I think we could reach that on with good publicity, with good social media publicity. And Alan alluded to this earlier, is that the officers' profiles on Facebook are friends. There's no getting they're people profiles, and you have to be their friend to see what they're doing.
You have to reach out to them.
You have to add them to your account. The FC officers can't go through a list of people on Facebook at the beginning of the year adding everybody, unfortunately. But I think throughout the year, the SU Facebook page needs to publicise the officers' accounts more. So that sounds like a really stupidly simple thing, but it's really important that that's kind of done and that's achieved as part of the new publicity campaign.
Yeah, so I personally agree with that as well. I mean, that's the main thing with putting it on the website with the whole revamp the situation. Like, if some people do not want to be friendly or like add the SU officers as friends on Facebook, the next way possible is through the SU website. If they do want to know about it, we should publicise that it is on the SU website, that it is there, and make it more apparent to the students that you can see what's being done.
Do you think, on the point of the fact that we have stuff like scrutiny panel, and then Cameron, you were in the point of that you can literally just go into the office and talk to an SU officer, they're normally there, you know, they'll normally make time for you. Do you think there's a bit, people imagine a bit more of a separation once you become SU president? Is there something that we can do to change that perception?
I mean, personally, I feel like a lot of students, that there is a massive segregation between the SU officers and the students. I mean, this year alone has been a lot better. A lot more students are understanding who the actual SU officers are. But it's also making sure for the next years to come is to make sure that there's no hierarchy system between the students and the SU, because I feel like the SU is an extension of the students, whereas so hopefully it will happen. More.
Because Joshua does raise a good point in the fact that scrutiny panel, if I want a question, I have to first check it's in the remit of the scrutiny panel. And then if I'm not a scrutineer as well, I don't have access to the documents that the officer's submitting. So, you know, there's definitely a viable point for thinking about how best to not hold officers to account, but just be engaged in a dialogue.
I mean, completely. I mean, with one of my points is your voice. So this is basically putting a feedback button on the SU website, again, where they can actually ask the questions or they can give feedback to the SU. If they really want to actually give these questions or bring up these comments, they personally can go on that page and maybe ask these questions and maybe use that for the question times in the scrutiny panel or being used towards the SU person who they're asking the question to. So I feel like 100% that can happen, yeah.
I think it's the idea that you can establish a system in place for students to submit their questions, but you also need a system for the SU officers to answer those questions and make sure that every single question that students suggest is fully and properly answered, fully and
is
properly
that a
addressed.
Little bit too far? I mean, every single question, you know, every little concern.
Well, not every single questions, but most of the questions that are relevant to the roles of the SU officers. So that's why I say, in terms of a scrutiny panel, there are lots of restrictions at the moment as to what are the questions. So a lot of questions will be filtered through the systems, and only a certain limited number of questions that addresses with a limited aspects will be asked in the scrutiny panel meetings. Same for the annual members meeting. It only happens once a year, and you have to be physically attending those meetings. So that's why I say precedent question time is an important channel for us as SU officers to address the questions in a proper, in a fully elaborated ways.
You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.
So that's right, we're back with your own question time. And do remember, if you do want to get involved in the discussion, just send in a free web text to urn1350.net or tweet us at urn1350. And please remember to leave your name so that we can credit you with the question, because the couple of texts that we'll go to now, unfortunately, you haven't left a name. And the first one says, Cameron and Alan, you seem to agree on a large number of points. What separates you as candidates?
I'll go first. Yeah. So what separates us as candidates? I think there's a few differences in the sense that I'm looking at using technology a little bit more. That's not to say that Alan isn't, definitely, but I'm looking at the kind of vlogs, the publicity of societies through video media. I think that's a really effective channel. And it's little things about publicity that you can look into. So, for example, I was speaking to Matt Manley from URN yourselves, and it's things like the carousel on the UN website, the union website, isn't an effective way to publicise things to people. There are studies on that. And also things like on the Twitter, URN now, they make sure that the Twitter, anything that goes in a picture is within that little space that you can see visibly, so that you don't have to click to open up to a bigger picture. It's little things like that, little publicity things like that the media team need to work on. I think also, you know, Alan definitely hasn't given any empty promises. Like, I've not given any empty promises like lecture capture. I've definitely not said we're going to be able to do it. It's something about continuing the campaign, lobbying for the university to increase spending on welfare and counselling service, and streamlining the event booking bus form. So that's something that I was looking into. Alan and I have both been on JCRs. I'm making it sound like we are really good friends from first year. That's the issue, is that, you know, I think we are just quite similar, but the streamlining of the bus booking into the event form, whilst it's quite niche, is quite important to support a lot of student societies and JCRs, because it's currently a paper form, so you have to take your paper, you have to go to the SU reception office, get a paper form, fill it out, give it back to the reception office, they have to input the details, and it goes through to like Tiger or European or Skills, whoever we do our buses with. I think it's Tiger European.
If you could just sum up in kind of one point, you know, if a voter came up to you and you were both standing there and you had to say to them why they should vote for you over Alan, what would you say?
That's really difficult.
You can take it.
I think experience. I'll say experience as well. Personally, as an individual, experience. I think I edge Alan over that. A manifesto is really difficult, but I think experience-wise, if you look on the manifesto experience, I think that's it.
So could you, for obviously our listeners?
So experience-wise, JCR in first year, also Alan, but mentor in second year, also Alan. In third year, I was Welcome Week coordinator, so that was a step up. That was organising the entire thing. And throughout, also in my second year, I was the President's Committee Chair. And that enabled me to get a really clear insight into the kind of policy making, the scrutiny panel, DPC, which is Democratic Procedures Committee, which I attended to help kind of pass the international rep on JCRs with Sarah Pickup. And things like that, I think, are really key for experience-wise for the role.
Okay, and Alan, if you want to respond.
So personally, right, when the manifestos came out online, I looked at my campaign team, and I'm sure Cam looked at his campaign team and were like, wait, did you work together to make your manifesto points? Because a lot of them do agree with each other. And I mean, the main reason for that is because obviously we've done a lot of our own research, talked to a lot of committee members, but there are a few points within my manifesto that are very different to his. So let's talk about like recognize. So in my SE4U part, it's all about acknowledging student superheroes, where superheroes would be changed, but it's recognizing that there are student superheroes within our student body. This will allow for the SU to really remember and recognize actual students. That will make students and the SU feel more connected and integrated. Other points are in terms of student services. It's such a big point because it's changed completely since last year, and through talking to all these different societies, they've always raised this as a major manifesto point that I need to bring up. Another thing is probably like interactive calendar. So yes, they have tried to do this, and they are planning on doing it. It's just ensuring that it will happen, allowing for more inclusive events and allowing for a lot of other students to find out exactly what's happening throughout the year. If I had to sum it up, and also legacy. So this is basically one of my major points, is continuing the work of previous FTU officers. A lot of points that previous FTU officers have done actually takes years to happen. With a rollover meal card, it started to lobby in 2013, didn't happen until 2016. I mean, that took 3 years. So a lot of these points with the legacy is continuing the work that previous SE officers have done in terms of lecture capture, in terms of halal foods, in terms of hopper buses, improving those systems. And obviously, I haven't added them on the here, but there's like the Global Buddy Scheme, which is on my manifesto, and like the new stuff, the Hall of Fame, Inspiration Students Magazine. It's just continuing the work. But if I had to come up with a few words or something that I'm... Yes, I may not have the most experience, or like I didn't have some experience that he has, but due to being an international student going back home, I wasn't able to do it. But personally, I feel like I have the passion, the enthusiasm, and the people skills to really connect with all students from different areas, different backgrounds, and yeah.
And Joshua, what would you say separates you from the rest of the candidates?
I would say it's... the engagement and the approachability. These are my personal characters that really separates me from the other candidates. I would say throughout this campaign, I actually learned the importance of engagement and being approachable to all candidates. It is important for us as SU officers or candidates to publicize our points, to make us become public, to address people's questions through the social media or through online platforms. But it is even more important for me to be physically present in lots of society events and physically present in a lot of students' communities. So throughout this campaign, I was talking with I had a lot of chances to talk with the education reps of a lot of schools, presidents of a lot of societies, and also for the campaign week, I was able to do a lot of lecture shoutouts, 9 lecture shoutouts per day from 9 to 5, that really addresses my points to all the students. So I really enjoy meeting people face to face. This is ties into my manifesto points of the President Question Time, but it ties into my personal character as being approachable and engaging with the people. So this is really one of my points. Speaking about personal experience, I'm the education rep of economics. So I had lots of so I oversee a lot of changes in economic schools. For instance, I was able to lobby the school to increase the dissertation credit weightings from 15 credits to 30 credits, which makes a huge impact in terms of the economic students' education experience. I'm also the student the STARS trainers for the that is the people giving the delivering the silver training sessions for the for the society committee members. So I'm one of the trainers, which I enjoy speaking with people personally. In terms of my manifesto, some of the points that stresses particularly on engagements and also inclusivity that I think no other candidates have addressed. For instance, I say I'm going to increase the SU promotions for the Kickstart Freshers Week after the January exams. I've noticed that.
I mean, one of my main manifesto points in terms of sports and societies in the inclusivity is all about making try-it sessions more apparent and improvements to Refreshers Fair. So I do bring it up in my manifesto point because a lot of society members do actually bring that as a point, just to clarify that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thanks for clarification. So I'll continue with my points. So my point is, a lot of societies have reflected to me that this year, the Kickstart Freshers Week after the January exams is, they have a very low turnout rate. We understand that the resources for the Refreshers Week is not going to be as high because of the resources.
So Josh, I want to hurry on this because we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but so I'm going to enhance the SU promotions for it, also to organize more social events for people living off campus. But there are lots of manifesto points that I think do really separate me. And in terms of experience, in terms of my character, it separates me from the other candidates.
And that's a general note for the listeners: do read the manifestos for every position you intend to vote for, and you know, do vote for every position. It doesn't matter if you know, you're not a postgrad; it's still important that you have a vote. And we're going to move on. And unfortunately, Francis hasn't joined us. But one of the points that he made, and I did want to bring up to a wider discussion, was about the interaction between students and bouncers on a night out, because we have an increasing number of reports about students who feel mistreated at the hands of bouncers and SU nights out, as well as a wider problem with Nottingham. And Cameron, don't worry, we'll all start with you. Francis raised the problem that they need to be more accountable for their actions. But I did see a response from Crisis that said that they use a private company to hire their bouncers. So I was going to ask him how he intends to hold them to account. But I was wondering if I could get your opinions as well. You know, do you think there's feasibility to make bouncers more accountable? Because it does seem to be a pressing issue amongst students.
Yeah, this is a really, really good question that we can ask of our community and of our relationship with our community as a students' union. Because it'd be really, really interesting to know how Francis would do that. But there are systems in place, and we need to look to other universities. And say, for example, let's take the example of Lincoln University, that have, when students go out, there's this safe scheme. It's called the Ask Angela campaign. It's the Ask Angela scheme. And that is basically, if I'm a student and I've been sexually assaulted, or my drink has been spiked, or anything that can happen on a nightclub out, you know, the plethora of things, I can go to a member of staff and I can say, I'm just asking for Angela. And that's almost like a code word, a code phrase for that member of staff to then alert the kind of authorities in the club, which at this point is the bouncers, to deal with the situation. Now, that as part of that situation, the student might have been assaulted by another bouncer. And then that information gets passed on, and it gets passed back to the students' union, and then it can look into it further.
Do you think this is something we can easily implement, or would it take time?
This is something that I reckon we can implement. Yeah, I think it's taken time for it to develop as a system, but it's apparent in quite a few other universities. I think Lincoln and possibly Bristol, I'm not sure. But it is apparent at other universities, and they've implemented it. And I think that we can look to those as a kind of like base structure for it, so that we can help implement it here. I think that if they're using external companies, yeah, I would expect that Crisis was using an external company for its bouncers, an external security company. But I think we need to use... we need to utilise our connections with the community. We have a great connection with our local council, Mel Futa, the off-campus affairs, has a great relationship with the police department in Nottingham. That sounded American, but it has a great relationship with the police. And I think it's utilising those channels, utilising those communication channels to say to students that you need to look to your authorities. Look to the authorities. Don't implement something that we don't have the resources to do, because we're not going to get any more money from the university anytime soon. So we need to look to our community to support ourselves. And one of the ways we can do that is utilising the relationship between the community, the council and the police and our union to support our students in the most safe way possible.
Do you think there's, as you know, obviously we want students to be safe on nights out,
mm-hmm.
but do you think there's a responsibility amongst students to, you know, you're representing the university when you're out? And mm-hmm. Speaking to Abel, he deals with a lot of complaints from the local community saying that, you know, students have, you know, how they affect their day-to-day life, basically.
Yeah.
You know, will the council be willing to listen to us if we do, you know, I'm not saying we're the worst people in the world running around the city, but, you know, do we need to step up from our side of things?
Yeah, this is a really, really great point as well, because I've recently just sat on a... an investigative panel to discipline a sports team. I won't say what sports team because that's unfair. But about a potential welcome event, and the noise that was raised at the welcome event was one of the issues that the community complained to the union about. And it was the noise issue and the relationship, you know, like, and the respect for the community. And the sports team completely acknowledged that they were at fault with the noise issue. That was absolutely fine, and I think that's really, really great, because they're now more willing to work. The sports team is completely more willing to work with the union and the community in order to make sure that its social events that it holds in the community, for example, Lenten, are more kind of inclusive and are more respectful of the wider community. Because I was approached by somebody during Welcome Week, she asked, it's great that we've got all these new students coming, but they need to remember about us, because we have to get up at 8 a.m. you know, just like they do, to go to work. We've got children, and it really did clock with me that we need to respect our community, and yeah, definitely. I think it's part of the wider discussion. It's part of the discussion that the Lenten Association can continue having with us. It seems like they complain to the union a lot, but it's a discussion, and it's about the mutual respect that we hold between us, because the students are part of the wider community as well. They do come from other places, and they come for a certain periods of time, but they are part of the community in Lenten. And I think that the association does appreciate that. Definitely, the council definitely appreciates that. And you know, students, we're not a disrespectful bunch on purpose, but. We do love everything. We love having a good time, and I think that where we're at the moment is a good place to continue conversations with associations like the Lenten Housing Association to make sure that we treat others as they want to be treated.
Right, Alan, I know Cameron's covered it pretty much. It's all gone, yeah. So but if there's any lasting points you want
to
add.
With that point, that with the bouncers, I completely agree with the fact that we need to try and up our game in terms of cracking down on stopping this happening, or trying to make sure that we have the means to hopefully help the students who are feeling or who are getting harassed, sexually assaulted. But obviously we have to talk with the SU, the community, the councils and the police to make sure this happens, and it is a recurring theme that
do you think though year. And you know, I don't think by any means we should encourage any sort of victim blaming, but you know, in one of the cases that came out recently, when the CCTV footage was reviewed, that it was revealed that actually the student had been quite drunk and was merely escorted from the queue to the back of the queue and then complained publicly. You know, if you do have this kind of, whether it's a hotline or the Ask Angela scheme,